Turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 35. And we're going to do a little bit of backpedaling. I had hoped to get done today. Not going to happen. Anyway, we're going to do a little bit of backpedaling, like I said, and we're going to see what has been transpiring right along here. We're only going to go back a little ways. We're going to go back to Josiah. And then we're going to come forward and see what happens here. You remember, Josiah was a good king. He was a very good king. He cleaned up the house of the Lord. And he reinstituted the Passover. And they had a Passover like nobody had ever seen before. He was a great king. Anyway, 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 20-24. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now, this Pharaoh Necho, he was, there hadn't been any bad blood between them for a while, you know, as any of Egypt, that is. And anyway, for some reason, Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, or Necho sent ambassadors to Josiah, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Now, he's telling this good king that had followed the word of the Lord after the Lord opened his eyes, you know, about how evil and sinful they had been. And Necho says, "Don't mess with me. Look, the Lord told me to do this. If you come out against me, the Lord's going to destroy you." Anyway, verse 22, "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God." So, again, we see an evil man being used by God to accomplish his purpose. "And came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archer shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, 'Have me away, for I am sore wounded.' His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him into the second chariot they had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah." So, here we have Josiah, a good king, for no good reason. He's dead. Because he didn't follow the word of the Lord. Now, good people can do bad things. And it happens all the time. I don't know why. I mean, even when it's me, I don't know why. I know what's right. God is put his word in my head and in my heart. I know what's right. And if I do something wrong, it always bothers me. But I did it anyway. Why is that? Because I still have a sinful nature. I will have until the time he comes and takes me home. Well, I sure look forward to that. Anyway, 2 Kings, chapter 23, starting verses 31 through 34. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho, same one, had put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in his room, in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim. And took Jehoaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. So now we've got a bad king. Things are not going well here, are they? Anyway, Pharaoh Necho, he comes and he, I don't know whether this was on account of what Josiah did or what, but all of a sudden, Egypt and Judah are not getting along very good. Anyway, he put him in bands that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And he puts a tax for a tribute against Judah that they would have to pay 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And this is an annual thing. They would do this every year. And he made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king. Now, that would be like us telling Canada who they could have for their president. We can't do that. But he did. He was wanting to show his power. Okay, now, the Lord's going to use him again, and the Lord's going to show him his power. But, anyway, in this particular case, he picked the guy that the Lord had for him to pick. He thought he was, you know, showing his power, but really the Lord was directing all this. Anyway, and he turned his name to Jehoiakim. He even gave him a different name. Anyway, Jehoahaz then was taken away to Egypt and never came back. That's where he was when he died. Anyway, 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Verses 5 and 6. Now, you remember, Jehoiakim is now the king that was put in place by the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, which is king of Egypt. And verse 5 says, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. So, he's carried away, taken away to Babylon. Now, you got one king that had put him in, a king of one country had put him in power, and a king from another country took him out of power. And it just goes to show you, God can use whoever He wants. You might think, I got away with something. No, you didn't. God knows everything. And we got to understand Yeah, we have a sinful nature, but we're still responsible. We're still responsible. We also have a new nature. We have a nature that we're supposed to serve God. We're supposed to do the things that are pleasing to Him. Like Josiah, for the most part, did the things that were pleasing to God. But there at the end, he did something that wasn't. And he was chastised because of it, and he paid dearly. And we carried him to Babylon. So, turn to Jeremiah 36. And we were just here not that awfully long ago. Our pastor did a study in Jeremiah. Well, I guess we all did, but you know, he was the instigator of it. Jeremiah 36 and verse 30. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day of the heat, to the heat, and in the night to the frost. So, he said, you know, this is what you get. You're paying for what you did. You reap what you sow, so to speak. Anyway, he says to him, you know, there's not going to be any of yours to sit on the throne of David, and your dead body is going to be thrown out into the heat or into the cold. It doesn't matter. You're gone. Not going to come back from it. So, 2 Kings 24. Verses 8 through 15. Jehoiakim, that's the son, was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. 3 months! And his mother's name was Anusha, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. That doesn't mean he went out to fight. He went out to surrender. Went out to the king of Babylon. He and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. So he went out and surrendered. He said, here I am, surrendered. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon king of Israel had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poor sort of the people of the land. So, here we have another one. He's being taken away to Babylon. Now, we're going to come up here in a little bit, find out what's the deal here. You know, God is using these people, the bad kings and the good kings that does bad things. He's used them. And why? What's going on here? How are we getting away with this? away, verse 14 again, he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poor sort of the people of the land. Jerusalem had never been defeated before. Now it's been taken. Took all the people, all the people that, some might say all the people that counted, you know, all those that weren't of the poorest sort, as it says here towards the end of the verse. Anyway, he took them away. Took them away to Babylon. Why? Well, he thought because he could do it. And actually, it was because the Lord had him to do it. You know, he permitted this to happen, using him as an instrument to chastise his people because they weren't doing the things that were pleasing to God. Second Chronicles 36. Verses 8 through 10. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiachin his son reigned in his stead. Now, okay, we're getting back and we're going to talk about Jehoiakim again, and we had to mention Jehoiakim to see where this all came from. Anyway, verse 9, Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, 8 years old. 8 years old, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. I know churches that would not take a profession from a kid that's 8 years old. And here was one that was a king, and Scripture says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. We need to be careful what we do. We're not to judge in that regard. And we can be careful. You know, ask questions and make sure before we receive somebody into our membership. Yeah, I understand that. But to flat out deny it, I don't think we should do that. Now, infants, yeah, those that are too young to understand. But if you think back, you know, John the Baptist, before he was born, leaped in his mother's womb when his Savior came into the same room with him. So, how young is too young? I don't know. I know it's younger than 8. Because this guy here, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 10, and when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar, and I believe this is the year that he was became king, Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. So here we have another one. God will not allow sin to continue now. A lot of these verses it says the Lord his God. And Brother McCool says that he believes that means that this man was saved, and it's very well possible. I don't know. I kind of wonder. But you're not going to get away with it. You might think you are, but no. Anyway, he made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. So we have again another king making somebody else Okay, now verses 11 through 13. Zedekiah, we got a new king. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. That's the reason I brought that up. I knew this was coming up. The Lord his God. And humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. God even sent a messenger to him. He said, tell him. And he wouldn't listen. Now you might say, well, we don't have prophets anymore like that. No, we don't. But we don't need prophets anymore. All prophecy that needs to be done before Christ's return is accomplished. Nothing else. He can come at any time. He did that was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. So, two things. He did that which was evil. And then he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar after he had vowed a vow to serve him. And sometimes we vow a vow, we don't think of it as a vow. When you promise to do something, you better do it. I don't know how anybody else feels about it. When you promise to do something, I take that to be like a vow. And it said there that made him swear by God. Now, we are not to swear. The Bible says that our yea be yea and our nay be nay, but we're not to swear on anything. But he swore that he would be a servant to Nebuchadnezzar. And what does it say? But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning to the Lord God of Israel. So he displeased God and he displeased Nebuchadnezzar. So what happens here, verse 14 through 16? Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. He warned them. He sent messengers to them, because he had compassion on his people. Sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, yeah, it's over with. I got away with it. Something like that. No. Sometimes it's just because God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering with his children. But you don't get away with it. Time is coming. But what happened? Verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. When people don't repent, there comes a point in time when God basically says, that's it. That's it. It's time. And when that time comes, nothing can stay his hand. Nobody, no thing. When we rebel against the God of the universe, God of everything, We need to understand how little of a smidgen we are in this big picture. We're not even a speck. Well, that don't mean we're not important. We were important enough to God the Father that He sent His Son to die for us. So don't get me wrong on that, but I'm talking about self-importance here. We need to understand who we are. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. There's no good in me at all. Turn to Jeremiah 52. You remember Zedekiah did evil. He was 8 years old when he started off here. And in verse 10, the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Judah in Riblah. And he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon, bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison to the day of his death. Never went back. So, what happens? That's the end. No more kings, right? Turn to 2 Kings 24. You remember when Jehoiakim rebelled, the king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came out. Before that, it had been the king of Egypt, Pharaoh Necho, right? What's the change? God uses these people, but woe unto them. Woe unto them that hurt God's people. In verse 7, 2 Kings 24, verse 7, and the king of Egypt came not again anymore out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. So he said, you did this. Even though it was God's will for this to happen, you did it. Now, those that betrayed, the one that betrayed Christ, that was his purpose from the beginning of time. Well, before the beginning of time. This was all planned out and everything like that. Yeah, woe unto him. Woe unto him. So woe unto the king of Egypt. Everything north of Egypt was gone. King of Babylon took it. And it says here that king of Egypt didn't come out anymore. No more. Can't have this. So, what about Babylon? Babylon did more than Egypt, right? Turn to Isaiah 13. And I am going to read the whole chapter. I'm not going to make very many comments. 1 through 22. Isaiah 13, verse 1. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see In other words, he was prophesying here. Lift you up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my... Thought I was wrong here. The noise of the multitude in the mountains like all the great people, a tumultuous noise. This isn't right. Okay. Let's go back, turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Or not Ezekiel, Ezra chapter 1. Boy, I'm having a bad day today. Babylon is where all these people had been taken to and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden we get here, Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him in the house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, is now gone. And in place of him is Cyrus, king of Persia. So the Persian Empire comes. Don't have a whole lot of information on it. Scripturally speaking, there's historical information. However much confidence you want to put in it, anything like that. But he said, not only did he say that the Lord had given him all the nations of the earth, but he said he had to build him in a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now, what was Cyrus, the king of Persia, what would he have to do with the temple? Nothing, right? God uses people. Who is there among, verse 3, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, besides a freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So he says, if you can't go work, if you can, you go work. You go help build the house. If you can't, you send money, you send material, you send beasts, whatever. And who is this? This is Cyrus, king of Persia. Babylon is gone. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. And hopefully next week we'll get to the true last king. And sorry I'm so messed up today. Kind of having a bad day. But anyway, everybody stick around. About 5 minutes, our pastor will have a great message.